Welcome to Monoreal Radio Dockside Chat number 23. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jackie.
And we are coming to you live from a beautiful Disney Springs. It is about 73 degrees. We have a beautiful breeze blowing.
It's gorgeous today.
So
comfy.
I was
not expecting this. I was expecting high 80s and spring break crowds and a very, maybe not the most pleasant experience. But really, I mean, a crowded hot day at Disney is better than any other day. So
this
pick and choose your battles.
This is true.
We knew what we were getting into today.
It is also earlier in the day, and I do anticipate that the crowds are going to build and that we are going to get a lot busier.
Well, I think that's worth noting, too, is that we decided to record our Dockside Chat first before heading over to Raglan Road.
Enjoying the St. Patty's Day celebration, right?
That was probably the smarter way to go about this. Past couple, we've done it the other way around, where we've ended the day here.
I completely agree. All right, so I think we haven't done the taste test quite yet. We have not tasted the margarita. This is the seasonal margarita.
It is a black cherry margarita, which,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, just going based on the look of this, I think this is the Halloween one that we love so much.
Yeah, was that the Monster Mash?
The Monster Mash, yeah. Just without, I think, don't they usually layer, like, green in there or something?
Yeah.
Or they drizzle it? I think this is the same drink without the green,
this
so
does,
we know we're going to like it.
Yeah, this does need an aggressive stir.
Yeah, because the black cherry is sitting all on the bottom, so we want to mix that up.
This is a lot of work to get into this margarita.
It'll be worth it.
I'm sure it will be. I have yet to be really disappointed here at Dockside. All right, that's good enough. I can't wait anymore.
All right.
Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
That's good. Ah, that's a Monster Mash margarita.
It is. That's really good. Not what I was expecting for this time of year. I thought that they might do something, you know, because when they did Flavors of Florida, they really deviated and leaned into the oranges.
Yeah.
Or around Christmas time, they deviated a little bit. So I was sort of expecting them to maybe go rogue and do something with, like, a creme de menthe. Not in a margarita, obviously. That would be disgusting. But, like, maybe do, like, a Bailey's creme de menthe kind of a profile.
Bailey's creme de menthe margarita?
Not a margarita. Just, you know, a drink. A seasonal drink that is not a margarita.
It's called Dockside Margaritas. That's like going to Raglan Road and having them do an Asian inspired or an Indian inspired dish for St. Patty's Day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not what I was expecting, but I'm not disappointed by it.
I agree with you.
Because we're gonna have plenty of mint later on today.
All right.
Or Guinness in your case.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we are just about ready to get into this Dockside Chat. Let's go.
Okay, this episode is sponsored by Hidden Mickey Supply Co. Makers of 3D printed straw charms, ornaments, photo night lights, and so much more. Listeners of Monoreal Radio can get a 10% discount using the code Monoreal at checkout. Visit Hidden Mickey Supply Co. on Instagram and Etsy to stay up to date on all of their new releases.
All right. We did a day at Hollywood Studios.
This was such a fun day. So this was the day after our last Dockside Chat. We came here the night before Super Bowl Sunday, actually.
Yeah, so the day in question was the morning of the Super Bowl.
The morning of the Super Bowl, yeah. Which was very nice because it thinned the herd quite a bit. Hollywood Studios was pretty empty, which is what we wanted, because I was doing a live with Kelly from KMV Travel. And we walked around Echo Lake and we talked about some of the movie history there, because there's a lot of hidden gems and what I like to call remnants of the heyday of MGM Studios.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, they know you've got the Maroon Studios billboard with Roger Rabbit on it. You've got the infamous Roger silhouette when he jumped through the blinds. And a lesser known film, I think, is The Rocketeer, and you've got the tribute to one of the best characters from that film, Peavy, with Peavy's Polar Pipeline, where you can get your slushy frozen drinks. And Gertie, too. Not a Disney movie, but a lot of people don't know why Gertie is represented in a Hollywood studio. So we did a whole, about an hour long chat, or a half hour.
You're about a half
about
hour.
About a half hour live. And we went over all of those Easter eggs that were in that area, and it was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, you were hanging out with Pat over at Baseline.
Yep. Like you do.
Like you do. We met back up with you, and then we also got to meet Stephen and George in person. You know Stephen better from his amazing Instagram account, Digerverts. So it was really cool meeting up with them and getting to know them a little bit more.
Yeah, and then we went and had lunch over at Docking Bay 7.
Always so good.
So consistent.
I feel like people don't talk about Docking Bay enough. Because oh, well, we also went to, we got into Olga's, too.
That's right. I forgot we got into Olga's.
I almost did, too. But, no, we managed to get in there. Like, that's how empty the park was, that we were kind of able to do that on a whim.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like people don't talk about Docking Bay a lot because Galaxy's Edge is so heavily themed, which is nice, and there's so much to do and see there. But I feel like what people are missing out on is that if you're a big fan of Satouli Canteen over at Animal Kingdom, it's a similar food, you know, as far as having, like, a more healthy option for a bowl, you know, where you've got your, like a protein bowl.
Yeah.
So I love that about it. And the food is consistently good.
Yeah. I enjoy it. You can almost always get a table. There's indoor and outdoor seating. So in a pinch, if you can't snag a dining reservation anywhere, it's a good menu, it's a good place to eat, and I think it's good for families all around.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've never had an issue getting seating there.
No. And speaking of something that I think is good for families, I talked about this last year, and I'm going to briefly talk about it again today. I went to the Daytona 500 again. This is my third race at Daytona when you count the Coke Zero 400 in August, which I will be going back to again this year. I think, I said it last year, I think for the money, some of the best entertainment dollars you can spend if you are a fan of going to any sporting event is going to the Daytona 500. The parking is free. They let you bring a cooler in with your own food and beverage, alcohol included. It just can't be in a glass bottle. So if you're a family and you want to take your kids to a race, the midway before the races, there's a ton of giveaways. McDonald's is there giving away French fries for free. Coca-Cola is there giving away soda for free. Your kids can play games. They can meet drivers. They can get free hats, free t-shirts. It really is an outstanding fan experience. And I think it's noteworthy because last year the race went off without a hitch. This year, the race did get pushed to Monday due to a rain delay, and they ran a day-night doubleheader between Cup Series and Xfinity. So you got two races for the price of one, which was great. But I have cautioned people that are coming in from out of town for this race to build yourself the Monday, because this is the third time in the last 10 years. Hadn't really happened prior to that, but I think this is the third time in the last 10 years where rain has delayed the race. So they do eventually give you the option to exchange a ticket for either the August race or for the following year's Daytona 500. But if you're here on a Disney trip, or you're planning to come on a Disney trip, especially because it's the beginning, I believe, of President's Week.
That's what I was going to say.
Build
the timing
in.
Is so great.
Yeah, and Princess Weekend is always at the end of that. So, like, if you're coming down for the week and you have a family member that wants to go to the race, and you have a family member that's doing Princess, and you build in a week-long vacation, you may want to build in an extra day on Monday. And if the worst comes to worst, if they don't race, or if they do race on Sunday and they don't get pushed to Monday, you have an off day, you have a pool day, you can resort hop, you can come here to Disney Springs. I would just caution people to give yourself an extra day if you were traveling in to go to the race.
Yeah, because we really did have some killer rain. But to your point, it really is, that was unseasonal what we had, because that really is such a great time to come. The weather's usually really great. It's not too hot yet, so to sit outside at the race all day, it's not an unpleasant experience. And there's something for everybody, you know. If maybe mom doesn't like racing, she'll go do her princess race, and dad can go and take the kids to Daytona.
Yeah.
So really, it's an ideal time to come so that there's something for everyone. I do want to circle back to the doubleheader, though, because I thought what they did with the tickets, and I think that this is important to note, I thought what they did with the tickets was so smart, because they allowed everyone entry on the Monday, whether you had tickets to the Xfinity race or Daytona. And what they did was, if you had tickets for Xfinity, you got your seat for the race that you were supposed to attend, and you could stay in the building for Daytona. However, when somebody came to your seat with the Daytona ticket, you had to go into another area, or like a general admission, or... But they honored, basically, the point is, they honored your ticket so that the race you wanted to see, your butt was in your seat.
Correct. And if no one showed up for the other race, you could stay there. And if they did show up, you would just find another spot to go.
Exactly. Speaking of Princess, you did not run, but you did go to cheer.
Yes, I had a really great time. I was over at the boardwalk with our friend Lou Mangiello. Cheering
and
on. And Pat.
Because Kelly was running.
Well. Kelly ran. Kelly did great, actually. So congratulations to her, and congratulations to all of the runners. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing the cheer squad for the running team over on the boardwalk. You know, I had said that after running Dopey this year, the amount of energy that you all gave us from the cheer squad, like, I fed off of that, and I wanted to be able to give that back and do that for the Princess runners, because I'm never going to run Princess. I'm not in the target demographic for it. Typically, that's the same weekend as Gasparilla anyway, over in Tampa, so that's the race I'm going to run, but I will always show up and show out and at least cheer for one of the Princess races. And, you know, to hang out at the boardwalk is great. You know, you show your ID, you let them know that you're there to cheer. It's a ton of fun. They let you bring your coffee in. I do wish that they would open some of those eateries to at least get you a coffee and a pastry early in the morning, but I understand why they're not going to do that for a couple of dozen people that are coming out.
Well, the reason that you didn't run Gasparilla and that you were actually in town for Princess, because I think that's worth noting, it's not that you were taking a break from running. It's because we wanted to go to Mardi Gras at Universal specifically that day because that there was a concert that we wanted to see. So Bare Naked Ladies were performing as part of the Mardi Gras event. You know, if you've been with us for a long time, you know that we are born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. We are products of our generation, and that we were in the target demographic for that show. So we knew that we wanted to go. We didn't want to miss them. I had never seen them before. You had.
And when I saw them, they were terrible, actually.
You didn't have the best experience, because they didn't sound great, and they were kind of condescending.
Yeah,
so
back
I'm
in
glad that they got a redemption arc.
Yeah, it took almost 30 years, over 25 years, but I let them have their redemption, and they were great. But let's talk about Mardi Gras for a second, though, because I think that it's noteworthy that for the longest time, there was, like, the Twisted Tater and not much else food-wise at Mardi Gras. The food that they have this year was outstanding.
They upped the ante. Yeah, they really upped the food ante.
I thought the quality was very good. I thought that the portion sizes were quite large. Because you pay a little bit more there than you do at, say, Flower and Garden or at the Food and Wine Festival. But those portions tend to be a little bit smaller because it's tapas style. These selections are a little bit larger, but I thought that... The parade is so much fun. Feet don't fail me now. I love the parade. It's a great time. We caught a ton of beads. We had a ton of food to eat. Great food. And then saw an amazing concert. And, you know, like, I'm used to going to the concerts at Epcot. And, listen, they're included in the park ticket, so I'm not complaining about it. But I'm used to, like, a half an hour or 40-minute set. And I figured maybe that's what they were going to do. No, Bare Naked Ladies played for, like, 90 solid minutes. It was a great, great time.
Yes. The concert is what redeemed it, because I don't know what food festival you went to. I'm going to disagree with a lot of what you said about the food.
Wow.
Yeah, because you went to Germany for your food.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Mexico I thought the price was very high for the tiny portion that I got, and I left hungry that night, which I don't love doing. But in all fairness, we did want to go to the show, so I didn't have a lot of time to bounce back and really get something else. So that's on me. It was crowded that day. Here's also where Epcot just does it better, and this is something that I'm hoping that Universal will work on. The organization was not good at all. There was a very, very long line at Mexico where I got my food, which, you know, is to be expected. But there were no team members directing traffic. There was no signage. There was no nothing, because the reason the line was long was that it was for people who had already placed their food order and were waiting to get their food. And because there was no signage, everyone else who still needed to order started getting into this line. What nobody was directing was that you could walk right up and place your order. So thankfully, the people in front of me passed that information along to me. I went into the line. Once I placed my order and got my receipt and got back into the food line, we started self-governing and, like, trying to help people who were waiting and telling them, no, go place your food order at the other window. You don't have to wait in this line yet. It's not that long, because it looked like a half-hour wait. And then by the time people got into the proper line, it probably knocked about 15 minutes off of actually getting your food pickup. But yeah, I'm going to stand by what I said on the small portions.
I feel like we had two separate experiences.
We really did.
Because at our booth, at the German booth, you got online, you ordered your food, they handed you your food, and you walked away. You and I had two very different experiences, and I'm wondering if that's just because of how the booths were set up. Because I didn't go to your booth, but I know some of the booths are tiny. The booth that I was at was quite large, and I felt like they had the infrastructure there to kind of, like, just make it like a regular experience where you just walk up, you order, you get your things, you move.
Well, that is a good point, because the main festival hub, I think, is in, like, the Central Park area, the New York area, like, outside of the Fallon dizzying ride. And that's where you have all of the extra festival booths set up. Where we went, the German pavilion, or not pavilion, the German festival booth was an overlay in the Battery Park section, so outside of Transformers. That's where Germany was. Mexico was by Café Babalu, I think it's.
Café La Bamba.
Or La Bamba.
You never get the song right.
No, I call it Babalu because of I Love Lucy. That's my own nickname for it. Sorry. But yeah, that was an overlay for the pickup window that's normally there. So it was probably a lot better when they're set up for the festival specifically. We did actually, I'm forgetting, we did get something from another booth. We got the waffles. And that was a festival.
Yeah.
How could I forget? That was like the best thing. We got, they do a sweet and savory waffle. So one has it was cookie butter with the Biscoff cookies. And the other one was like a savory Gouda waffle, which that made up for the experience
onion.
With Mexico.
It was
yeah,
a Gouda sweet
a
onion.
Onion.
Oh my God, yeah. Was it good.
That's one, if we get to go to Mardi Gras for another round, I would absolutely be going back.
And those waffles, those were large for what we paid for them, because I think we only paid about $7 or $8.
That one, I'll give you. That portion size was, and we split both of them.
So good.
Yeah, so
that onion one was unbelievable.
That was worth it, and the show was absolutely fantastic. It was a gorgeous night. It was pretty cool. It was crowded, but not too crowded. They sounded amazing. They played, like, everything that I would have wanted to hear. And I think the most fun part was how into performing at Universal's the band was.
Yes.
Because they knew rides' names, specific ride names. Like, they were calling it the Velocicoaster. It wasn't like, oh, the Jurassic Park roller coaster or the Jurassic World section. Like, they really knew their material. Specifically, though, they loved the Bourne attraction. And what was so funny is that when we first became Universal APs, several different sets of friends recommended that attraction to us. And you go in, and you're in the queue, and, you know, there's the setup video, and they got Julia Stiles to do it. And, like, she clearly did not want to be there because she's, like, phoning it in, or she's on Quaaludes or something. And
it's the worst acting she's ever done.
It is. Even worse than her Juilliard audition in Save the Last Dance. And we're thinking, are all of our friends, like, collectively gaslighting us on this attraction? The pre-show is, it pales in comparison to what the show actually is. It's an incredible mixed media attraction. I can't recommend it enough. What they do is absolutely unbelievable. The way that they have the actor interact with the background, the way that they change the set. It's just really well done. Perfect way to get out of the air conditioning, or into the air conditioning, out of the crowds at Universal. And the Bare Naked Ladies saw the value in this because they went on, they loved it, and now they're telling the crowd how great it is. But even they seemed in on the joke of like, no, hear us out, really.
It's good.
Great. In fact, they told the audience to leave.
Make sure their show.
They were like, it's better than anything that we're going to do, so you may as well get on it if you're not going to be here tomorrow, and if it's one of the last attractions you see, it's worth it. So that was really funny. We also got to do the store.
Oh, the tribute store.
The tribute store.
It was very good this year.
Yeah. The great set. We didn't find any teasers for Halloween Horror Nights, albeit we weren't really looking all that hard, but I really liked the set pieces in there.
Well, there's been a perspective park map for houses that was leaked a couple of weeks ago.
That wasn't out yet, though, when we went, because
right.
This was a couple of weeks ago, and it only dropped, like, last week, I think.
And all I will say, because nothing is confirmed, they teased one of the houses with the Cadillac logo, and we all know what that means, especially with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire opening later this
week. They'd be really silly not to do it.
So I'm going to leave that there. This is the year of frequent fear. No doubt about it. But let's get back onto Disney property for a little while.
For the main event now, we've been talking about it for so long on the show that we were going to have our vendor set up at House of Mouse Expo.
Yes.
So we went to do our setup on Friday night. We both took off from work so that we could make sure that we had time to troubleshoot anything that we needed to do. 7 years working in radio will do that to you when you have a promotion and you are sent out onto the on location unprepared for it. We were prepared. We had almost everything that we needed. So we got there at about, what, like 4:30? The expo setup had started at noon, you could go. And by the time we got there, not a lot of vendors were in yet. I think a lot of people came after work.
Yeah.
I had said to you, I mean, like, this was a fun experience for us. I cannot imagine, you know, we were there to give stuff away and just hang out and have a good time. I can't imagine for the artists that are selling things or the product makers what it must be like to do this almost every weekend and to have your livelihood depending on it. Like, I can't even imagine the stress. And I think we were not very popular the first day because, like, we were set up so fast.
15 minutes and we were done.
We hung our vinyl and we set up some of the table. We didn't want to put everything out because we didn't, you know, want to necessarily leave certain things there. Like, our bigger giveaways, we didn't want to leave them there overnight. You know, we had, like, 2 bags of everything loaded in, put it out on the table, and, like, we were good to go. We got so much time back, in fact, we were able to dip into Epcot that night for our first Flower and Garden experience.
Yes, we went with our friends Brendan and Catherine. They've been on the show before from Detour to Neverland. And we were able to get in there right at dusk. So it was, the weather was great. It was just so, like, beautiful sunset that night.
So great for Asha pictures because she is the centerpiece when you walk in front of Spaceship, or in the front when you come in.
Yeah.
The other side, Figgy's the centerpiece as he should be. But as the sun was going down, if you've seen Wish, you'll know they did the star character to look like pixie dust. And they were able to incorporate that into the topiary design in, like, the most clever way. And they light it up. And at dusk, it just looks so beautiful. They knocked it out of the park. It was really, really great. So I hope this Wish is supposed to be coming to Disney Plus this month. So I'm hoping when it does, people will really start appreciating how wonderful this movie is.
So the big topiary that we wanted to see was the Groot topiary.
For sure.
He looks amazing. I love the cassette tape that he's holding. And I love that the tape occasionally moves and will play.
I didn't know that that was happening until we were there. So, like, that was the most fun surprise that didn't get spoiled through social media yet. So, yeah. Sorry that I'm doing it now. But what caught our attention was that the mechanism of the cassette started moving. And the music wasn't playing at that point, but eventually it did. It is playing the Guardians soundtrack. Particularly the song that we got was the opening to Guardians 2, where everybody's battling the big alien, and Groot is baby Groot. He's like a toddler, and he's just kind of messing around and dancing. So that was a lot of fun to see. And then we got to try some festival booths. A new one for us, and I think this is important to note because it's deceiving. The Impossible booth.
Yes.
It's not all vegetarian food. You would
so
think
it is
that
possible.
Because of the name.
So it is possible.
It's very possible. Favorite dish of the fest so far.
Oh my God.
The ribs. They were incredible.
The ribs. They do have peanut on them. I'm sure that they can leave them off, but if you have a nut allergy, it's worth mentioning. But they were like fall off the bone. Absolutely delicious.
Morimoto. I'm not going to say they're as good, certainly not better, but like darn close.
Really good. Then into the Odyssey Pavilion so that I could get the tempura shrimp with that orange chili sauce. And I didn't get the whole boatload of sauce this year. They showed some restraint. But it was as good as it was last year. Absolutely delicious.
And then we went, we did a lap around World Showcase with Brendan and Catherine. We were in the America Pavilion while Chicago was playing.
Jason Shen was playing.
Yeah.
Jason Sheff, I'm sorry.
We did get to hear a couple of songs, which was really nice. And then we went to the booth in the America Pavilion, which I loved last year. They have a muffaletta sandwich. They brought it back this year. Cannot recommend enough. A muffaletta, that's a big, it was big in Louisiana, I believe.
Yeah.
That's where it had its origin. And, you know, the idea was that when people were going to work, because the Italians did this too, you'd pack a big sandwich with cold cuts so that it was, you know, something hearty for the day. And the muffaletta has like an olive spread on it. I don't even like olives, and I love this sandwich. I don't ask them to alter it. I don't ask them to do anything. I just get the sandwich and enjoy, and it's incredible. And then we also got the bread pudding.
So good.
Yeah. We got drinks from there, too. I got the punch, which I really, really liked. And you got a beer. We'll have to look up what beer that was, but you liked that one.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Was it a porter?
I don't think it was a chocolate. Was it strawberry? I thought it was like a fruit forward beer. It definitely wasn't key lime.
No.
Well, whatever it was, I remember thinking it was quite good. But all in all, it was a successful first night for us for Flower and Garden. That was actually its first weekend. So it was quite crowded.
And we are going to go back, so next time on our next Dockside Chat, we'll make sure to do our review and break out the actual passport so we can tell you exactly what it was that we ate and our recommendations. But yeah, successful first outing. Excited to go back. I'm excited. I always get excited to see the topiaries earlier on and see how they fill in and how they progress. And I didn't know this because what I had said to you last year was you know, we're seeing a lot of the same topiaries. They need some new stuff. Obviously, Asha was like a huge ad, but what I didn't know was how long it actually takes to grow these topiaries. They can structure them, but to actually get the plants to grow takes sometimes 10 to 15 years. So now how do they do that with Wish, a brand new movie? They obviously didn't know that was coming 10 years ago. They'll fill it in with some mosses and things like that just so it gets going. And then, like, on down the line, something like a Snow White that you see every year, those are the real flowers that have been groomed and they've been growing over time. So I thought that that was interesting. Disney, they actually did a whole video of it on TikTok, and I was like, huh, you learned something new.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the expo itself. We had so much fun. Like, 10 out of 10 would do it again.
I love House of Mouse Expo. Michelle and Scott over at Main Street Mouse do an outstanding job. They put so much of themselves, so much of their time,
truly,
into making this event special. And they do not disappoint. We went last year as attendees, loved it so much that we went back this year as vendors. They are in early talks preparing for 2024. We can tell you right now that as soon as those dates get announced, we will let you know, because we will absolutely be back as vendors. Because I would go so far as to say that I think I almost enjoyed my experience as a vendor more as an attendee.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're also talking about last year, we got a Hocus Pocus reunion. It was the biggest cast reunion to date. We got to meet most of them, and we're walking away saying that the experience was better. But I think that was also because you and I tried to do this as fairly as we could, because there were certain panels that I had wanted to see, that you had wanted to see. So we alternated. I mean, that's the thing. We have a podcast, right? We're not afraid to talk. We're certainly, after working in radio and doing radio promotions for so long, we're not afraid to talk to people. So the nice thing is that you and I can leave each other alone behind the table while the other person goes out to do something and have an experience, and, you know, everything will be flowing smoothly, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So, as we mentioned, we got our setup done easy peasy the night before. Getting out there the next morning was, that's the only thing about the venue change that I'm sort of bummed about. It was so easy for us to get there, to just go straight down 192. And you know, it's a straight shot down the road for us. It could not have been
could
in a better
location. Could
not
have been
location.
Any easier.
Whatever. We'll adjust if they do it. You know, wherever they move it next year, we'll make it happen. So the morning, you know, we were in there and we got set up without a hitch. We stopped for donuts on the way. There's this place
yeah.
we always pass. We've been wanting
sip
to stop.
Sip and dip.
Sip and dip.
If you're in that Kissimmee St. Cloud area, man. Ooh,
oh,
sip and
man.
Dip.
Man, it was so
that
great.
That was really good.
We got there with plenty of time to eat and have everything ready to go, because the VIPs got to come in at 9:30 and then the event started at 10. I thought it was really nice how the VIPs, they're differentiated by their lanyards, so you know who's a VIP other than the early entry when they're coming in. But they also get a tote bag so they can go and they can explore. Because when you're doing an expo like this, I mean, besides your price of admission, there are so many cool vendors, so many cool products that you see. You really do have to sort of allocate where you're spending your money and budget what it is that you want to do, especially if you're there to do the celebrities and get a picture
yeah.
and get an autograph. You do really want to, like, take it in and figure out what it is that you're spending on. So, you know, it was cool because our placement could not have been better. We were by the entry door, so we were one of the first people that you would walk past when you came in. And then we were also, if you looked straight ahead of us, that was the entrance to the celebrity portion where they're sort of curtained off. So you would see us as soon as you came out, and I am so thankful that we got a huge banner that was visible from the other end of the room, because I felt like we were super busy the entire time. Like,
we were.
I really don't think that you and I had a lot of time to breathe, which is not a complaint at all. Like, that's what we wanted. We wanted to meet people. We wanted to hang out. We wanted to talk to fellow Disney fans, and I feel like that's exactly what we got to do. We got to meet so many cool vendors. Let's talk about some of our vendor friends first,
yeah.
And then we'll talk about some of the panels we got to see and people that we got to meet.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, the music is starting. A little early.
15 minutes early.
Yes. We were told the guitar player started at 1:15, so sorry about the competing audio, folks.
Let's talk about, you said we're going to talk about vendors, right?
Yes. So some of the vendors that we got to meet, we were set up next to Lexicon of Love, who I thought was so cool. She's a music teacher, and there's so many sheets of music that get either thrown out. Well, they're getting thrown out. They're not getting recycled, and she figured out a way to upcycle them into artwork. So she'll have, you know, the sheet music for like Mary Poppins or something, and then she'll write a Mary Poppins quote on it. And they're just really cool looking. I love the design of them. And they're very popular because I thought we were busy. I don't think Alexa sat down the entire time.
She didn't sit the whole time.
She hustled. And she was by herself. I can't even imagine. We got to see Skipper Haas, who we met last year.
Yeah.
I love the artwork. And we also got to meet the Theme Park Protection Agency.
The Preservation
the
Society.
The Theme Park Preservation
that's
Society.
What it was.
Thank you.
The
yes.
Unbelievable stuff that they had, too.
Both of them are so clever because it's artwork and it's more subtle nods to Disney or like retired rides. And I don't want to spoil exactly what we got from the Theme Park Protection Society because we did get something to gift to our friends, so I'm not going to mention that now. But just so many cool Easter eggs, so many nods to like old MGM studios or rides that are no longer there, like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, like just really great stuff. We got to meet, there were just so many people. We got to meet other podcasts that were really cool. The woman next to us on the other side of Lexicon of Love, she had scrunchies and hair bows and everything.
Yeah.
Those were really cute. We got to meet another company that does, they're a bunch of former Bippity Boppity boutique fairy godmothers. And they have their own company now, so they'll go to your room if you want. If you can't score the reservation at Bippity Boppity, they'll come to you. And I thought that was so great if you're traveling with a family and you have special needs and you don't want to deal with the crowds. I thought it was such a great alternative.
I think it's a great alternative to have a very personalized experience.
Yes. Yeah, or even, these ladies were so much fun too. I could even see like bachelorette parties booking with them and like doing you up to go out to Epcot for the night. I thought that that was so fun. And then by far my favorite product that we found is called Wear in the Park. They are a company, it's a husband and wife that do the operations, Kevin and Amanda. They were so lovely.
They were so nice.
And they make decks of cards that you can use while you're waiting online in any of the parks. They have a deck for each one, whether it's Disneyland, Disney World, and
Universal. They even have some local parks.
And
that
it's
they
a
do.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
So some of it is on your phone, but the majority is off your phone. And I thought that that was so brilliant to give families something to do while they're waiting on the line. So you're not using those in-app games. You're not draining a phone battery. And you're also, you know, it's a scavenger hunt, so there's a little bit more teamwork, a little bit more bonding time with families. I thought that they were... they were so clever, and they were kind enough to set up an affiliate link for us because
yes.
we were just so into the product, and they were like, all right, we'll make an affiliate link. So we're going to post all of these vendors, you know, when we release this episode, we're going to post them all in our story and on our Instagram, so you'll be able to see for yourself what some of these products are, what some of these companies are, because we just, that was one of my favorite things, was getting to meet so many cool people that are making just really awesome products that you might not necessarily find online.
And I love the fact that they're taking the phone away in Disney.
Yes.
Disney, Universal, these are fully immersive experiences. Disney has forced so much onto this app. you shouldn't be going to the Magic Kingdom to be buried in your phone. You should be going to the Magic Kingdom to get off of your phone. So I love the fact that they have now taken the phone away and they're getting you immersed in the park, experiencing and appreciating and investigating your surroundings that the Imagineers put so much time and effort into, that you spend so much money to come on these vacations. It's a product that we believe in.
Yeah, you best believe if you book a trip with me that you're going to get these as a gift before your trip.
And I'm telling you, like, the affiliate link, yeah, we're going to post it. Like, we're really excited to have them on and to be a part of one of their affiliates to move their product. We really, really believe in exactly what they're doing.
So let's talk some panels now, because
yes,
we got to see a lot of really cool panels. I wanted to see Ross Marquand because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. I mean, admittedly, I haven't watched in the past couple of years, but, like, I still love it. I love what it was. I love what it is. And I really wanted to go because he was on Walking Dead, but he's really had an illustrious career, and he's doing so much more with Disney. You know, obviously, he is Red Skull.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the new X-Men series, which has since dropped, I believe. Or it's dropping this weekend.
I think so.
Yeah, that and Taylor Swift were the big ones this weekend.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go and see his panel because also, he's been very open about his battle with cancer. And because he is taking on so much work, he had he's very open about it. He had something on his nose, didn't have time to go get it checked, and he let it go for a little bit too long, and he ended up having a scare. And, you know, I just think it's been pretty amazing how open that he's been about that. So I wanted to go to his panel, and I learned even more about him. And that's the thing. His body of work is so impressive, but what really won me over was the persona. Because he was just so open to talk about whatever. He was so polite to everyone. Like, he had come off of 2 days of shooting. He had hardly slept. So one of the team members from House of Mouse brought him a coffee. And the panel was hosted by Patty Hawkins. So there was one coffee that was black, one that had cream in it because they didn't know how he took it. And Ross told Patty, "I'll take whichever one that you don't want." And, like, stuff like that, as simple as it is, when you're a big celebrity, that impresses me. Just so nice and so kind. And then he talked about how he got his start in the industry, how he ended up getting cast on Walking Dead because he was doing voice imitation for Norman Reedus and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So a lot of times what happens when you need ADR from an actor, if they're not available, like, for example, when Norman's not filming Walking Dead, he's got the other reality show with AMC, Ride with Norman Reedus. So if they can't get him, what are you going to do? Well, now you're going to use AI. But before that, they would have Ross Marquand come in and do his best Jeffrey Dean Morgan or Norman Reedus impression. And he nailed them because he did them for us. And then that's how he ended up getting cast to the show. And then he was talking about how when he went to do his Red Skull, his days on set as Red Skull, he knew he was going in for Marvel, had no idea what it was for, until they had to shave him and do all of the mapping for the motion capture. And it wasn't until he was getting the dots placed on his face and somebody saw that he was looking confused that they were like, "You really have no idea what you're here for." And they kind of let him know what it was. And then, like, he panicked because he had, like, the sides and he didn't really know what his lines were yet. And then he realized that he was, like, in the big leagues. And it was just really funny to hear him say it. So you can watch all of that stuff, I think, through the House of Mouse website, or they'll link you to their YouTube. I'm not sure exactly where it is. We'll link
it
as well.
But
you can see the entire panel. And that one was so worth watching. But he was just so nice. I wanted Sean to meet him just to have that experience because he seemed so cool. So we went over to his booth later on. You know, we weren't intending to get an autograph or anything like that, or do pictures or anything, because he was pretty busy. He did have a line. But we were in our monorail gear, like, not even thinking about it, and he pointed out our logo, and he was like, he thought it was cool, which nobody's ever really said that to us before, so I was kind of taken aback by it. And we just loved that he loved it, so we ended up giving him our logo in straw charm form from Hidden Mickey Supply Co. because they sent us down to House of Mouse Expo with a ton of straw charms that are in our logo specifically for people that were there. They were probably the most popular thing on our table.
Oh, yes.
Everybody wanted one. They didn't care about our stickers, didn't care about our pens, but they wanted the straw charm logo. But we sent Ross Marquand home with one because we just thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, and he was so happy to have it.
He thought
it was like the coolest little product, the coolest little trinket to have.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, it's the film reels. And then he asked if Disney was going to sue us for having this logo. Not yet.
Please don't.
We're free. So I think as long as we keep Monoreal Radio free, which we will, we'll be okay.
It will always be free. Simply because we can't afford the legal fees.
Speaking of knockoffs, I do have to put this out there before we talk about your panels. I thought it might have been like our logo or something that everybody was looking at. But I'll be honest with you. There were a couple of times where I was like, why is everyone looking at my husband? Because they kept passing.
I mean, not everybody is this gifted. This is a gift.
I mean, I know that.
So do I.
But no, seriously, people were coming past our table doing double takes, and I'm like, what's the deal here? And what I realized, not in the moment, and I have never thought this, ever, but now I started to see what everyone else has seen. Since you have since shaved your head, not straight on, but in profile, you kind of look like Brett Iwin. And I really didn't think so, but you went to see his panel, and they posted pictures from the panel, and there was a moment where I saw on House of Mouse Expo's Instagram, and I said, how did Sean get up on stage? And it was not you. It was Brett Iwin. So, like,
I mean, I did have people come up and go, Brett, and I'm like, what? I don't understand. Who's Brett? I didn't know what they were implying.
You did, and then I finally put the two and two together when I saw the picture, and I was like, oh, they think you look like the voice of Mickey Mouse. That's what's going on here. So people really thought that our booth was where you would come to get your Brett Iwin merch and autograph.
Yeah.
And if he's not present at the expo next year, we're going to milk that for all it's worth.
Saw that panel, though, moderated by Jason Marsden. It was Brett Iwin, my doppelganger, apparently, with Caitlin Robrick, who is the voice of Minnie Mouse, and Bill Farmer, who is the voice of Goofy. So you have Max, Goofy, Minnie, and Mickey all on stage at once. Their stories are incredible. Caitlin Rolbrook especially, because at one point, she was a Disneyland cast member that just kind of practiced doing the Minnie Mouse voice along with a parade that she was working.
We had no idea. And, like, that's where the House of Mouse Expo is so worth it, because these are the stories that you don't know.
They were so much fun. The panel was amazing. And then I went to Brett Iwin's booth after, because he was so kind to us last year. I said, you know what, this year I want to buy... I'll buy something. I'll get an 8x10 autograph. And what's amazing...
Because admittedly, last year we blew the budget on the Bambi reunion and
yeah.
Jason Marsden.
But he was so appreciative that I came back and supported him. But the nice thing about House of Mouse that you don't get with other cons is FaceTime.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of FaceTime.
They
with
never
the
rush you.
He was so kind. We'll talk more about some of the other celebrity guests that we met and spoke to. And they will allow you to speak to them even if your intent is not to buy anything. Sometimes just walking by and being like, hi, I just wanted to say I like your work. It's nice to meet you. Like, they just appreciate that so much. And that's what makes House of Mouse Expo so special and so different and so unique, and why I am so excited that they are planning a 2024 Expo, because I think that it's something that, as a Disney fan, you need to experience, because I don't think that you can get that at another con.
So those were our Saturday panels.
And Marsden actually did come by the table.
He did. That's what was most impressive. So last year, he did have a vendor set up where he was charging for photos and autographs. This year, he was the host. He was making all of the announcements. He was hosting panels. And as busy as he was, what impressed me the most was how much time he spent on the floor introducing himself to vendors, us included. He knew exactly who we were. Thank you very much to our friend Ash Cat, because she has been messaging him on Instagram for the better part of, oh, I don't know, 3 months, telling him that he needs to come down and see us. So he saw the logo, immediately recognized it. I didn't think that he was going to remember, but he's good like that. And he went, oh, Monoreal Radio, I was told on Instagram that I need to come and see you. And we kind of died a little.
It was hysterical.
It was so funny. He was so nice. He was really cool. And he did the next day. So, yes, on Saturday, I was wearing my Poor Unfortunate Soul shirt from Fierce Fox Co. because we did want to support all of our sponsors. And the next day, I wore my Sanderson Sisters Ball shirt. And he recognized it because it's got Binks on it. And he's like, what is this? And he thought that it was really cool. So I do apologize, Brittany. I was not able to get a picture with him because he was very busy. It was while we were packing up when he came. We went to say goodbye to him, and that was when he saw it.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I didn't get a picture. But the other thing is, there's sort of a fine line, because if you're not going to spend the money on a picture or an autograph, they are kind enough to talk to you, but the fans also do have to sort of respect that and not ask for too much. So we didn't want to overstep, just because, and I think that that's something that, you know, we sort of learned from working in radio, is that you don't want to ask for too much, because we've seen it happen, you know, and Jason was there to work. He's put in a long weekend at this point.
Yeah.
We didn't want to overstep, but he was very, very nice. So Sunday's panels, they did do a surprise panel in the morning with Jason Marsden and Bill Farmer. So it was like a little goofy movie reunion. That one we didn't get to see because we were like crazy busy at that point.
Yeah, we were very busy
and
Sunday
then,
morning.
Sunday was also the Pirates panel, which was like my main event. I really wanted to go and see the Pirates panel. I went in right when it was supposed to start, but the panel before, ran a little long, and that was Jim Cummings and
Terry McGovern,
who's the voice. I mean, they both voice like everything, but most notably, I think Terry's known for Darkwing Duck, or at least that's what they talk most about. He's done
Terry's,
Star Wars,
Terry's
though.
Launchpad,
and yes,
and Jim was Darkwing Duck.
Yes, you are right. Yeah,
but both of them they did a dual panel though,
and it was so great hearing about their Disney legacy. And then Marty Kleba, Lee Ehrenberg, and Kevin McNally, who are Gibbs, obviously. Pantella and Rigetti. Rigetti's the one where the eye's always popping out. And Marty, who, that was the other thing, like, this is how you sort of get to know people. We saw him on Saturday. He was looking for a Pirates of the Caribbean lounge fly, the 50th anniversary one that I have. And I have right here, actually. And he didn't get one. So he was hoping to find it at House of Mouse Expo. That was one of the things we got to talk to him about, because we wanted to know if he eventually found it. And unfortunately, he didn't. So I'm hoping that the good people
of Lounge... I think he said he found it online.
I hope they hook him up with it, because he deserves it. But it was so cool hearing about their experiences, especially because so much of what they are asked is, well, what was it like to work with Johnny? And you forget, like, how big this film was, what the phenomenon was, because, you know, last year it celebrated its 20th anniversary. And I don't want to say that it's forgotten about, but I think with all of Johnny Depp's legal trouble, it's sort of been shelved a little bit. And I don't want people to have a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to Pirates. Sorry, this song is so distracting. It's a great song.
Da-da-da-da.
Oh, God. As if I'm not distracted enough. So, yeah. I feel like Pirates is kind of on the back burner, because they announce the next film and then they're not doing it, and it's kind of like, what is happening? So it's sad to see. It's sad that it doesn't necessarily get the love that it once did, and you forget what a phenomenon it was. So, you know, you have to imagine how many times these incredibly talented actors have been asked, what's it like working with Johnny? And then they just have to answer that. Patty Hawkins moderated this one again, and what was really nice was at the beginning they sort of go over like the rules of what questions you can ask, and not that they discourage asking anything, but they do caution you to not ask about the other actors. Ask about what their experience was like. And the fans really honored that. They took it to heart. They asked very specific questions about their personal experiences, and it was so cool to hear what it was like for them. Like, for example, Jack Sparrow is not in those incredible bone cages. And we got to hear what that was like for them. And for as much as they loved these Pirates movies, that was probably their least favorite day on set because they're actually in it. Marty Klebba is a stunt person. That's how he got cast. So he's used to this. And he's the one who's getting motion sickness from being tossed around in this ball at the beginning of Pirates 2. And they will tell you, not their favorite set day. But otherwise, like, it was so cool to hear what it was like for them shooting in the Caribbean, to watch Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom grow up before their eyes over the course of three movies. And just some of the other things that they had to do. Or, like, when you really, you know, talking about how we don't remember how big these movies were, it's a Jerry Bruckheimer production. He's got a lot of friends. He's had a lot of people visiting set. Like, Jimmy Buffett came to set. I'd love to live in a world where Jimmy Buffett didn't even ask to go to set, and he's just, like, cruising around the Caribbean. He pulls up, and he's like, oh, cool. I'm going to drop in.
Right.
They had him. They had, well, you're not going to love this. They had Sidney Crosby visiting set because Jerry Bruckheimer is apparently a big hockey fan. Is what it is. But it was just very cool hearing some of their first-hand accounts. And after that, there was no way I couldn't do it. I really wanted to go meet Kevin McNally because he is getting a little bit older. And he was supposed to do House of Mouse Expo last year. He had to unfortunately cancel last minute. And I was like, how many chances am I going to get? I wanted to meet Gibbs. And, you know, you forget, too, Gibbs has, other than young Elizabeth, he's got the first and last lines of the entire series so far. Like, yeah. He is such a cornerstone of Pirates. So it was so cool meeting him, and he was so lovely and so nice, and I just had a really great time with that.
He was a gentleman.
He was.
And speaking of somebody else who was so lovely to talk to, Melanie Paxson.
Oh, my God.
So many people in the Disney community know her from Saving Mr. Banks and from Descendants.
I think more people know her from Descendants. We're just the ones obsessed with Saving Mr. Banks.
She was so lovely. She was so nice. And we kind of just, like, as we were, it was the end of the day. It was the end of Sunday. We had just kind of packed up and we were making our rounds to say goodbye to Jason and to Michelle.
And thank them for having us.
And swung through just to say hello to Melanie. When I tell you she stood there and talked to us for a good 15 minutes, like, that's not a lie. Well, she walked past the table the day before. It was the worst time. We were, like, doing...
We were eating lunch. We were eating
lunch. Couldn't have been in a worse time. And as soon as she walked by, we were like, wait, was that... Yeah, that was, wasn't it?
It was Dancing with Don.
Yeah.
And that's what we told her, and I think that's why she appreciated it, because I swear to God, we watch Saving Mr. Banks at least once a month. Like, that is one that goes on, and I hate saying background TV because you're not engaged with it, you're not really watching it, but because we love the movie so much, we'll just put it on. And we told her this, and she seemed very flattered. I have to imagine it's because the entire weekend she's dealt with kids coming up to her as the fairy godmother. But we just love her character so much, and we got to talk to her about that was actually somebody that they wrote into the movie. She wasn't, like, a real person. And she was more than willing to talk about it, and that was so cool. And then she gave us the time of day when she had to drive back to Charleston that night.
Yeah. That's
what?
We very much appreciated that. But House of Mouse Expo, coming back 2025, As soon as there's a date, you will know. Because for as long as they do this event, we will be vendors. For as long as they do this event, we will champion this event. I think that if you were a Disney fan, it's a must-do. And I think if you're coming down for a Disney vacation, it's absolutely worth factoring this in to any and all travel that you need to do. It's a special event. It's a grassroots event. There's great vendors. There's great guests. The hosts are unbelievable, and I cannot wait to see what happens in 2025. I'm already excited. Take my money. I'm already excited to come back and do it again.
As am I, and I will be keeping a tally of how many times you get mistaken for Brett Iwin next year. Now I know better. Now I get it.
Oh, one more thing. A registration. Race registration for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon.
You're in it.
Here we go again.
You're in it.
Right as we're getting ready to end the Run Disney season with the Spring Surprise coming up next month. We're already registering for the first race of the upcoming season.
And we are booking hotels because we can book into 2025. So if you are registering for a race, get in touch with me. You'll get a better rate the earlier you book.
Yes. I got in. I'm excited that I got in. It's a race registration with Run Disney, so it can't run smoothly. But raise your hand if you got stuck with the t-shirt option that didn't work and you had that moment where you were told to refresh your screen and you know, oh, Hall & Oates, and you know never to refresh a screen during a Run Disney race registration. But whatever, it worked. We're in. I'm excited. I'm ready. Let's go. 15th anniversary. Let's go Wine and Dine Half Marathon.
So I think it's worth noting too, this is why our episode ran late this week, because it was Tuesday morning.
And
we were supposed to be recording on Tuesday, and I knew we weren't going to get to with race registration, but I came in to check on you just because I had to tell you something, and I can't even tell you how shocked I was to see the screen and the wheel of death still turning, that you hadn't actually gotten in yet.
The Take My Money Wheel of Doom. Oh, that's like the worst game show on earth. All right, but let's talk about one newsworthy topic. Because it kind of, it does.
It's a fuzzy topic.
Yes, I question the validity of it, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Well, we don't like to talk speculation. There are numbers, but what I am wondering is more of who was polled. Like, what's the demographic we went after?
That's my whole
because
thing.
Because this is, you know, kind of why there is such a division with this topic. What we are referring to is a poll that IndieWire did asking whether people preferred to watch movies in the comfort of their own home via streaming or going and having the theater experience. And this is something that we've been talking about on the show quite a bit. You know, it comes up every couple of months where, you know, you'll see, like Sherry Shepherd brought it up on her show the last time, that people are in the theaters and they're talking, and that younger generations think that this is perfectly acceptable to have a quote-unquote shared experience and go to the movies with a group of friends and talk through the whole movie. And that's a big point of contention, especially because we saw last summer the Barbenheimer phenomenon and Taylor Swift that, like, saved the movie-going experience. They kept these movie theaters afloat when they were really hurting after the pandemic. And I really thought that after last year, and especially after the strike, we were taking a turn in the right direction where the movie-going experience was going to be more prominent. Now, in the wake of the strike, you know, we're going to have a rough year just as far as, like, what is actually getting released. And you're going to have a tough time drawing people into the theaters. But I think what last year proved, if nothing else, was that people are favoring original concepts. And if it's a good concept and a great movie, people will go and see it, despite what is being said on the internet about it. So I really thought we were taking a step in the right direction here. Now, according to this poll by IndieWire, they're saying that 2/3 of people prefer to stream a movie from the comfort of their own home. And this is where it comes in, where it's like, well, who did you ask? If you're asking a bunch of Gen Zers or Gen Alphas, sure, they're probably going to say that they want to watch in their home.
Because if you take their phone away or take their screen away, they don't know what to do with themselves anyway.
Conversely, though, I also wouldn't blame older generations like Boomers and Gen X for not wanting to go to the movie theater if they're going to hear a bunch of people talking, because that's not being policed at all. I had a friend of mine who's a huge cinephile. He went to see Dune. And I saw this on his Instagram story. Now, you can make the argument, like, okay, you're posting an Instagram story. I believe he did it after the movie was over because he loves film and he respects film. There were two people in the theater that were live streaming on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it was, their reactions to Dune. And not only were they live streaming, they had their ring lights set up. This was in the middle of a theater. I was appalled, honestly. And I mean, okay, come at me for sitting here at Dockside Margaritas. Like, we're not around anybody. We're not disrupting anybody else's experience. Yes, we are live streaming on our Instagram right now. But, like, the second that this is in somebody's way, I'll cut it. Sorry, guys. Those that are watching, I will cut it if it's ruining somebody else's experience. We're not going to be the podcast that broadcasts live from a ride. Like, we're just not.
We also came to a spot where nobody was standing intentionally so that we could be more private and not impede on other people. But that's unfortunately not what society is at this point in time.
The bigger conversation is that there's a time and a place for it. And I think that for as much good that was done last year as far as drawing people back to the movies, there is a double-edged sword with it because now you're going and you're seeing people that don't know how to behave in public behaving in public.
Yeah. I question the validity of this poll because if last summer taught us anything, it's that people will go to the movies, that people want to go to the movies. Is IndieWire strictly polling people at Fyre that follow IndieWire? My father doesn't follow IndieWire. He's a baby boomer that would prefer to go see Star Wars in a movie theater, not sitting at home on television.
IndieWire has been in question since they ranked the Pixar movies and got it wrong.
Got it wrong. Like, not even close. I'm sure that there is a sect of people that would prefer to stay home. I would prefer most of those people stay home. I don't think there's any... It's noteworthy that there's a sect of people that want to stay home, but I think at this point it's much to do about nothing.
I think two-thirds seems like a lot. I don't think we are at the
clickbait.
Point of a vast majority. Yeah. Exactly. Because my concern, my legitimate concern, is what the studios are going to do with this information and what happened to those 100 days that people fought so hard for against streaming and to get their residuals and to, you know, skew everything back in the favor of the creatives. I would really love to think that that wasn't all for naught because that stresses me out. I don't think I can overstate how much it stresses me out as far as the fate of our industry goes, and that's something that I will talk about at a later time because I am in the middle of transitioning between projects and I can't necessarily talk about what's going on right now, but I have been feeling the effects of this fallout firsthand and it's not pretty, so I'm really hoping that this hopefully clickbaity article is not making it worse.
Yes, but we are interested in knowing what you have to say about the news and the talk topics this week. You can let us know on any form of social media at Monoreal Radio, or you can email us monorealradio@gmail.com. But let's go ahead and give away a straw charm from our friends over at the Hidden Mickey Supply Co.
Ross Marquand loves them. What better boost do you need than that? What better endorsement? It's not going to be one with our logo, unfortunately. Those are gone. Those are gone. But this will be a character of your choice.
Yes. So since Ross Marquand loved the logo and the product so much, the first person to DM us or email us the word Red Skull
yes.
will win a straw charm courtesy of Hidden Mickey Supply Co. Thank you all so much for joining us this and every week on Monoreal Radio. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and rate us on your podcast platform of choice. We are on all forms of social media at Monoreal Radio. And for links to everything related to the show, it's going to be online at monorealradio.com.
To Raglan we go.
To Raglan we go. I can't wait. For Jackie, I'm Sean. Have a magical week, everyone.